hear me?
Yes, we can hear Pete.
Okay. All right. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. You can be seated if you're not seated already. If you see me looking off in this direction, it's because I'm looking at my screen over there. I have one in front of me, but I thank God for being here tonight. I thank God for Pastor Maston and for Sister Maston, for Clay Maston. Thank God for holding the holies. Can you still can you still hear me real well, or do I need to be louder?
No, you're good.
Okay, good. Thank God for this. I wanted to be in attendance for this appreciation and had planned to be. But you know, things just started happening, and believe it or not, unfortunately, two people passed and had to be here and had to be there. And I thank God for his goodness and his mercy that he's kept all of you. I thank God for the testimonies tonight, and I thank God for Elvis Smith already being with me tonight here in Promise, Sean Bonzillo, somewhere out there. And I want to start tonight. I want to, first of all, look at Pastor Maston. Today is Thursday, and I want to encourage, because it is a pastor's appreciation, and sometimes I know when we come, we preach or teach to all the people, you know, all the church, which is the body.
Bishop, it's a church anniversary.
It's a church anniversary? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, aren't you in that?
Yes, sir, I'm a member.
All right.
I'm in the member.
Praise the Lord. I was getting ready to say, we preach to pastors, but it's, you know, we preach to the church, but the pastors are part of the church. So when we look at what we're looking at as a church, it is not only the pastor's appreciation or the church's appreciation, but it is also an opportunity. Sometimes we come and we preach to the minister, to the members, and everyone wants us to do that. And then sometimes we just come and preach to the pastors. But tonight I kind of want to put them both together and preach to everybody about what everybody's supposed to do. I want you to look, first of all, over in Zechariah. And if you can find that, it's important. And this is the portion that I'm looking at. And the reason why I do this for probably for Pastor Maston, but I also do it also for the members of the church. I'm going to look in Zechariah, and then I'm going to look in, probably 1 Peter, and that might be about it tonight. And we'll see what the Lord does tomorrow night. I've been scrambling around today. I was planning on being down last weekend because Elder T'Angelo Rogers' sister was going to have a funeral. Then they didn't do that. And then other things happened, and I was up in Georgia for Minister Desiree Sewell's husband, for Wayne. Everybody knows Wayne. And so I've just kind of been all over the place and doing some things, but the Lord is good and being here at the same time. Let's look in Zechariah, the third chapter tonight. We'll start there. Then I'm going to go to Peter. And then we'll see where the Lord takes us from there, but I think that'll probably be it for tonight. Something we all need to know about the Word of God and about being in God. There's a great reason for being in the house of God. I was trying to think of which way to go concerning, I know this weekend you'll have Ella Carol Chisholm in on Saturday and have a great opportunity out in the park, and I've been watching from time to time some of the things that she does on Facebook and different places. Then you have the Williams in. I'm not sure whether they're there Saturday or Sunday or when they are, but I've been looking at some of the things they do. So there are a tremendous amount of people who teach the Word of God and teach it well. Mm-hmm. And you would be well to listen to people who teach and preach the Word of God well, because you need the Word of God. It's like, if you don't have the Word of God, it's like if you're lost in a country where you don't speak the language, and you're asking someone how do I get from place to place, and they know how to get you from place to place, and they can tell you how to get from place to place, but they can't communicate with you because you don't speak their language. And if you don't spend some time in the Word of God, when God wants to speak to you, how will you know it's God?
Right.
And if you don't spend time in the Word of God when the Spirit is communicating with you, how will you know it's the Spirit? And so when we are coming to the house of God, when we're reading the Word of God, you'll never hear from God if you don't know the Word of God, because you won't know His voice, and the devil's always running around yelling. and you won't know who it is. And how do I know? People say to me, well, how do you know it's a spirit? Because it's verified by the Word of God. It's what I know. When I ask God to move for me, God always comes back, and I know that the Lord is going to do what He's going to do, because He brings back to my memory, by the Spirit brings to my mind and my memory, the things that God has already said. Thereby, I know it's God. And I can identify with God because I know Him, because in order to identify with anyone, you have to know something about them. When you first meet someone, you don't know a lot about them. And that's the reason why we encourage young people, old people, in between people, know somebody before you get married. You know, it has to be more than they just look good. You'll never know the soul of a person, the person of the person, the part of me that is me, that defines me and makes me who I am, my behavior, my reactions. It takes some time to do that. And then when you fall in love with me, knowing me, then it will probably last. If you are infatuated with me just because you met me yesterday, that could go away very quickly.
Right.
And sometimes it's like that in God. Sometimes people leave God because you don't take time to get to know God. And the Holy Ghost is trying so hard, because He comes immediately to encourage you. Get to know God. There's so many benefits in God. I'm bombarded all the time when I watch TV about, you know, all the benefits of Medicare because I'm old, and all the benefits of this and benefits of that, and many things you don't know about. And the Word of God and the Holy Spirit keeps trying to say to you all the benefits of God.
All right.
And why you should spend time in God. Even when it comes down to, the greatest reason for being in God always, I could never get up without saying, you need God for eternal life. You need Him for many things in the earth. You need Him to sustain your earth, but you really need Him for eternal life. Can't go without saying that. But if you don't spend time with God, you won't realize how much you need that. So in the Word of God, when we look at it and we study, and I'm sure throughout the weekend everybody has something from God, because I know of all the people that are coming, and all of them have the Holy Spirit, so you should receive something great from them. But the main benefit that you have to receive from anyone, and I look at people talk about how the Lord blesses materially, which He really does, and you need to know that. That encourages you. If someone says, I'm not looking for any material blessing, I just want to know God for who He is, that's a very noble prospect. I mean, that's a very noble thing to say. But, you know, when you don't have what you need, you get discouraged.
Yes, you do.
And although when you're doing well and you're going through, God is right here. He is nigh thee, even in their own mouth. But if you start despairing enough, it'll seem like God is way up there somewhere. And you're way down here somewhere. Unless you understand what David says, that you're weeping all night, but you'll be okay in the morning. And unless you give the Word of God time enough unless you understand that you're being tried, but you know God is always going to work things out. One thing I would have you know tonight, that in God, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah.
One way or another, God will work things out. And sometimes God has to wait till we stop being so busy, because we know how to do a lot of things, and God sometimes has to wait until you get to the point where you exhausted all your options and means, and then He can come in, and then you will say, you know what, that was the Lord. So I want to look at tonight one thing in particular, and then for the weekend, I'm sure we'll talk about other things. But tonight I really want to talk about being filled with the Spirit, and not so much in the way that people think, being filled with the Spirit from the point of view that they are that you're necessarily having a physical reaction, or tonight. I'm not necessarily talking about the manifestations of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, although I love them, know about them, guarantee them. You should want them, you should want to witness them. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit, allowing Him to work a work in you. You see, in all the years that I've been in God, there have been many, many, many opportunities and times and events, sadly to say, when I could have left the Lord if it had not been for the Spirit of God encouraging me to stay with God. And for everyone that comes, at the moment you ask God to save you, you ask God to deliver you, the very first thing that God gives you before you get home and get the blessing in the mailbox, and before you, you know, you come to God because you're really sick, and before the Lord touches you in your body and heals you and makes you whole, and before the minute that you ask God to save you, the very first benefit He gives you is the Holy Ghost. He fills you with He gives you the Holy Ghost. He fills you with the Spirit. Because He knows that no matter how many blessings you get, you know, and I'm praying you get a lot. I'm not knocking getting blessings. I can use them every day. Love them. Love to hear about them. Love the testimonies tonight. It is good to hear of the goodness of God, and it encourages every one of us that when I'm not getting a blessing, you're getting one. But the reality is we're always all getting blessed anyway, because our hearts are always beating and God sustains that. But aside from our basic need, God blesses us all the time. And what He does is He gives us His Spirit, first of all. He doesn't just save us, but He gives us His Spirit because He knows that we ourselves, being born in sin, are not strong enough, either in soul or spirit, to hold on to the blessing that is eternal life if the Holy Ghost wasn't in there keeping us.
Yeah.
We are kept by His power divine. And you might not realize it, but you're out tonight because the Holy Ghost influenced you and dwells in you enough to get you to come and do something in God as opposed to doing something else. And that's the change that sometimes we're not careful. We think we've made ourselves, but really it's the change that God has made. And it'd be good to let yourself know that God is, it's good to say, God has changed me. Not just I've changed, but I've been changed. It's good from time to time, because sometimes you'll get to a point where you're wondering if God is with you or not, like Israel did. They got in the wilderness, and as soon as they came through the Red Sea, and my God, you say by the time they came through the Red Sea, they should know that God is with them. But, you know, as soon as they got to the other side and they didn't have water and they got a little bit out of place because they left Egypt and they started missing being at home, never mind, it was a horrible place to live, but it was home. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they got out of there, you know how it is.
Yeah.
And as soon as they got out there, even though God was taking them to a new home, taking them out of Egypt, moving them into a, you know, great big house and everything in the burbs, but, you know, they started missing home and started whining and everything else. It didn't take long, and the first thing out of their mouth was, is God with me or not? And when the Lord saves you, and the joy comes in, because everybody sitting here, if you're saved tonight, you're here tonight, you've experienced the joy of the Lord when the Lord saved you, and it might have came because of hope, it might have came because of different things, but it doesn't take long before things can come, and you're wondering, and here's the point. That some people will say in different ways, and don't misunderstand me, you don't leave. But the devil never stops asking you the question. I won't say you question yourself, is God with me? The devil always comes and asks you, is God with you?
Yes.
He shows up and he says, you still think God's with you?
Yeah.
You're having a hard time.
Yeah.
You still think He's listening?
Yeah.
Do you still think He's going to show up? Look at Zechariah. In Zechariah, third chapter. And I'm reading in the King James Version. I'm going to go to New King James very soon because of this time. But tonight I'm just going to read in King James 3:1. Let me tell you who all these people are so we don't spend all night. Joshua is the high priest when they go into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And Zerubbabel is the governor during that time frame when they go to build the temple. And if you really want to know about all that, then you have to go read Ezra, and you have to read Haggai. But what I want you to get tonight is, and now I'm taking Pastor Maston's side, but I'm also taking the people's side as well. What I want you to get tonight is why you need the Holy Ghost, because this never stops. And some people think that it does, but it doesn't. Because Joshua and Zerubbabel are somebody who's great in God. And 3, he says, and he showed me Joshua, which is Zechariah, which is the high priest at the time,
And the Lord, he says, the Lord showed me Joshua, who's going to take into this great undertaking of being the high priest. And the Lord shows, you know, God knows everybody who's ever going to be a pastor. It's not that he knows that you're going to be a pastor and you can't get around it. I've heard people say, I ran from it. The Lord ran me down and he did. Well, okay, your experience is your experience. But generally speaking, most people that God's going to use, I'll take that back. Everyone that God's going to use, at some point in time, you have to have said yourself, yes. You can say that life was bad and things were hard until I turned to God, and you'll be telling the truth, because that's the testimony that most of us have. And for most of us who don't think life was bad before we came to God, it was bad. You just didn't know it.
Yeah, that's true.
It was horrible. You just didn't know it. And God, by his grace and his mercy, came to you and turned you around before what was bad got, you think I'm going to say worse, badder. And say, well, what was making my life so bad? I was doing all right. It wasn't how you were doing, it was where you were going.
All right.
That's what made life bad. It was, remember, for all of us who've been in Pastor Master, if you haven't told it, I'm sure you will. When you teach in Jeremiah, when God says, I'm going to bring you to an expected end, God's expected end is eternal life.
Yes.
God's expected end is eternal life. And for all of the people who didn't know what God's expected end was, you might have felt like you were doing okay. But when you know that God's expected end is to do all the things in life, he blesses me, he keeps me, he sustains me, he heals me, he gives me joy, he does all these things to keep me encouraged, keep me in God, because of the great prize that he has for me, which is eternal life. That's what God wants to give me. And it's so much greater since already I done burned up most of the years I'm going to have. I'm 70 now. I only got about 20, 25 left. But eternity lasts forever.
Yes,
it
does.
So when he looks at when Zechariah comes, the Lord told Zechariah, you know, he's going to anoint Zerubbabel, Joshua, and he's going to use them for the Lord's work. And he says, and the Lord showed me Joshua. The high priest looked at Joshua. You know how it is. The prophet, I should say, looked at Joshua. And it's like the preacher who has the Holy Ghost, the pastor who has the Holy Ghost. He will look at his members from time to time. And if he has any move of the Spirit, the Lord will say, thus and so concerning them. And this is going to, you know, it's not like some long, drawn out prognostication where you can just fill out the rest of their life, but he'll just give you glimpses from time to time, especially when they're going through,
yeah.
Or when they're getting ready to really go through some difficult time. And Joshua's going to go through a difficult time, and Billy is getting his temple back, and Zechariah came and said, and the Lord showed me Joshua, and the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And he said this, and I'm going on to Peter now. He said this to them because he let him know that it's not a problem. Don't worry about the devil. I want everybody tonight to know, don't worry about the devil. Don't be concerned about him pulling you out, because Jesus said, no man can pluck me out of your hand. No man can pluck you out of my hand. Don't worry about him running you off and turning you around from God. You know what? He saw the Lord said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, when you come to God, God keeps you. The Holy Ghost keeps you. You're kept by his power divine. You just need to stay in God. And the Lord will keep you, and the Lord will sustain you. Otherwise, we'd never make it. Without the Holy Ghost, we would enjoy the joy of being saved, and we would like the good feeling that comes with it. And we, just, you know, and the Lord has forgiven us, he's washed us, and now we have a hope of heaven, all of which is true. You should have. Now I can really feel like when I go home, I'm not just thinking I'm going to heaven, but I feel like I really am going. All that's good. You know, that's great too. But in a little while, The devil never stops. Remember now, Joshua is standing in the sight of God, and the devil's standing right there. He's not in hell. He's standing right there.
Yep,
right and there. He's there to resist him and to discourage him and to make sure he doesn't make it.
Yeah.
And Joshua said, I saw the Lord. So, you know, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. In other words, I'm rebuking you. And
yeah.
I'm keeping you away. And I'm the one. That's the reason why when we rebuke Satan now, we say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
Yes.
Hey.
But he never stops trying to keep you from going where you're going. You're going to 1 Peter now? So then, in Peter, we've got this job, and this is why we're here tonight. I want to look at, I said 1 Peter, and he told me to take my time so I could kind of jump around for a moment. But not a lot, because when you're on Zoom, you have to kind of hang on to people. I want to go, I said 1 Peter, but I want to take a little side trip into Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Not 6, but 5. And it's not, and I'm not going to go down to the point tonight, I'm not even down to the point of 22 words, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. That's good, it's unto the Lord. But everybody likes to go down that part and get in that part, but they don't do the part that's before that, and that's where we want to be tonight. Ephesians 5 and 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. In other words, he says the first thing you need to do is to learn to obey God and act like Christ.
Yep. Yes.
Ah, I wish everybody I knew. And it's so easy to, it's not as hard to do as people think. You want me to walk around like I'm holy and not smiling and you won't tell me I can't go bowling, can't watch football, and you know, and I'm out here tonight, missing Tampa Bay and Boston, and you know I need to be someplace else, and you know, you're just going through, and you know, you people can't, and it comes down to, you know, what people say about people in God, y'all can't do nothing.
Yes.
Nothing would be further from the truth. It hasn't stopped me from going on cruises. I've been to Australia. I've been to Fiji. I've been, you know, halfway around, well, three quarters of the way around the world. It's very little of the world I haven't been around. I was able to do a lot of things because God was keeping me and the devil wasn't destroying me.
Yes.
I could do so many things and go so far and be successful and be blessed and do what I do because God was keeping me and the devil wasn't destroying me.
Yes.
I could have the liberty to be in God and to be what I wanted to be in, you know, career or whatever, and all these things, and raise kids and, you know, read books and be in, you know, go to baseball games and, you know, and just, you know, because, you know, there's no against such, no law against those things.
No.
I can drive whatever kind of car I want to drive. I don't drive a Lamborghini because I can't afford one because it's too small, too, but that's the reason why. But if I had the money, God, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yes.
As long as I didn't drive it down to the strip club.
Yeah.
But when it really comes to it, so when people say you can't do anything in God, it's because they don't know God.
Yes.
That's where the liberty is.
Yes.
You can have all that. You can not be holy. You can be ungodly. You can be whatever you want. But you can only sin so much. You can only sin as much as you have money.
Yes.
And so the restriction is there. But if you're in God and that's not your aim, then the whole world is open to you.
Right.
And you can do everything that you're allowed to do in God. And the things you're not allowed to do is because they destroy you. You should, and you get to a point after a while where you don't want to do them.
You don't want to do them. That's right.
Well, we should hope so.
Yes.
So he says in this, when he's looking at this, he says, walk after, you know, you should be followers of God as dear children. Followers of God as dear children. Just like parents lead God. I think the last time I was down a few weeks ago, I was talking to you about how God is our Father and how we should relate to Him. And he goes on, and I could spend a lot of time on this, but I want to go up to the part where it says over about verse number 14. And in between here, let me read some of this. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. In other words, he says, stop wasting time doing things that you ought not do.
Yeah.
And I have been in church long enough where people would get in this part right here and spend the next 3 hours just talking about these things. But I'm gonna cut them short for you and tell you: stop doing things that are not profitable.
You're right. Yes.
Stop doing things that destroy you.
Yes.
Stop doing things that hurt other people.
Yes.
Stop doing things that make a mess of your life.
Yes.
Stop doing things that waste your time. Stop doing things that destroy you. Stop doing things that destroy your kids. Stop doing things that are not, that don't help you to build up and go forward. Get out of them.
Yes.
Get out of them. Get out of relationships that aren't going anywhere. Get out of them.
Lord Jesus. Yes.
Go on in God. And the Holy Ghost comes on. He says, stop doing all these things. And then he goes on down, for you know no whore among an unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. One thing you know, people who do these things, not going to heaven. Wasting time. And that's the main thing Christ died for. Now, here, let me put in a little commercial. I love the blessings of God.
Yes.
I love the house of God. I love the people of God. I love coming to church. I love the music in God. I love the praise. I love the worship. But it's a place where God has brought me to, and it's the love that God has shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I love those things, but they would be nothing if they weren't going to end up in eternal life.
All right.
Amen.
I love seeing people healed and love being healed myself and delivered. But I mean, it would be nothing if it wasn't going to end up in eternal life.
You're right.
I like going to the mailbox and getting a refund that I overpaid taxes, or I did something that I knew I was going to get and got some money that I knew I was going to have. And I like stimulus checks. I wish we were out of COVID, but I am not going to send my money back. But it means nothing if you're not going to have eternal life.
That's right.
What does it profit a man to have the whole world and gain the whole world, lose his soul? Because everything we do in this life is temporary. Don't you know I'm in a temporary body?
Hallelujah.
I live a temporary life. It's going to end. It's not going to last forever. And the way this body is wearing out, I'm glad that it's not going to be the one I have forever. It says in one place, I think it's in Corinthians, it says the things of this earth are temporal, or they're temporary.
Yes.
They don't last forever. This is one of the things that's so nice to know about God. Whatever situation you're in, have you going through the night, or whatever it is, if you will be in God for a little while, if it's not a good situation, God will work it out.
Yes, he will.
Give God some time.
He will.
And I'm not just saying that so that you feel good. I know it to be a fact.
Yes.
If you're going through something that's not working out, give God some time.
No,
I was talking Tuesday night, and I was telling Tuesday night, sometimes, because some people sometimes wonder, when's the Lord going to deliver? When's the Lord going to bring me out or whatever? Sometimes God has to carve away all your support system. God has to carve away all your enablers.
Mm-hmm.
God has to carve away all the little things in your soul life, and the stubbornness and the obstinateness and the things about you that won't change. Because anytime God fixes anything for you, he also fixes you.
Yes,
and God's biggest concern is not whether I have money, because God has all the money. He's not even concerned in that regard about my health, because God can heal me at any time. But he's woefully concerned about whether or not I have eternal life.
Yes.
So he moves in a way and sends a pastor master to a corner, to a little storefront someplace, so that you can't say to God in that day, but I never heard of Jesus. I never heard about God. I never heard of anything that's going on in the Lord. He sends us out so that you can't say, but I never heard of a Bible. I don't know there is any such thing as salvation. Nobody told me about heaven. All I knew is what I saw on the sci-fi channel. No, he sends us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With the gospel so that you will know. And Satan stands there when we come to preach the gospel, and he does every one of us like he does Joshua. And as fast as the gospel is preached, he stands there to say, that's not true.
Yes.
You don't have to have that.
Yes.
That's too much.
Yep.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
He stands there to resist us all day long. And the Holy Ghost keeps saying, you need to hear the word of God. You need to hear what it said. Open your heart and hear. One time the prophet said, and Jesus said it too. God will give them ears. I think it's Isaiah. It says ears that they can't hear. He said dull of hearing. He'll give them ears that they can't hear and eyes that they can't see. Let me explain something about that without going over there, because it'll be long. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow night. But
when the Bible says that God would give them ears that were that they couldn't hear and blind their eyes so they couldn't see, what it meant was the same thing as when he said to Pharaoh about he would harden Pharaoh's heart. It's like if I say to Pastor Maston, you need to wash your car. And if you wash your car, it would look a lot better and people wouldn't mind riding in it. And Pastor Maston says to me, and he thinks to himself, I'm not going to wash my car. It don't bother me, and I don't care whether people ride it or not. Well, if they're not going to ride it, you can't bring them to church.
Right.
So then the next night, when I come, I look at Sister Kim, and I said, Pastor Maston's riding up in that dirty car. And she says to me, well, what you going to do? I said, well, I guess I'm going to make him mad again because I'm going to tell him about this dirty car. And God says to Pharaoh, he says, I guess I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart again because I'm going to tell him to let my people go. I told him to let him go yesterday. He got mad. And today I haven't changed. So I'm going to do this, and it's going to harden his heart again until he decides that he's going to change his mind. And then when the word of God comes, Isaiah says God's going to blind their eyes. Since every time God starts speaking and the light comes, they close their eyes. God is not going to stop speaking. The light's going to not stop coming. So what are they going to do when he shows up? They're going to close their eyes again. And then every time the word of God comes, since they don't want to hear it, and they stick their fingers in their ears, they close their minds. Since God is not going to stop speaking, then every time God speaks, he says he's going to make them dull of hearing. Well, they're going to not hear again, because here I come again. And I'm going to tell them again they need to change. And what are they going to do? So every time I show up, they're going to blind their eyes and close their ears, because they're going to close their ears and blind their eyes, because I'm not going to stop preaching what I'm preaching.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's what it means.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that God made them deaf so they couldn't hear it, made them blind so they couldn't see. No, the word of God and what God was doing, since they refused to see it and what they refused to hear, since God wasn't changing, and Isaiah says on down there, he says, well, you know, God, they're going to be blinded because they just won't see, and the light's not going to stop coming, and the word's not going to stop coming. They're just going to be deaf because it's not going to stop coming. I guess you'll just have to be mad then, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep telling you your car's dirty and ain't nobody going to ride in it. And until you clean it, I guess you'll just, you know, here you come. And after a while, you're going to stop wanting to see me. Because every time you see me, I'm going to say, you need to wash your car.
Right.
And that's the way people are in God.
Yeah.
And all you got to do, and here's it is God. And God will even say, I'll wash it for you if you'll let me. And you're saying, no, I don't need you to wash my car. I like it like it is. And God is saying, but no one will ride in it. That's what blinds him. So he says in this, when he's saying, follow the Lord, and talks about him, and down in verse number 8, he says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you're in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now that you're in God, he says, let the Lord change you. I want to say tonight, let the Lord change you. Now that you're in God, let the Lord change you. Let the word of God come in. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other words, he says, stop taking the side of things that are not right.
Amen.
Stop being involved in things that are not right.
Yes.
You know, you get to a point where, I still have friends and I still have relatives, but when they do things that are wrong, they're just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a matter of saying what is, it's not just a matter of saying whether or not they came to church on Sunday night. It goes so much further than that. When they are cheating on their taxes, they're wrong.
Yep. Yes.
If they're shoplifting, we all know they're wrong.
Yes.
And when they're telling people off, we know they're wrong. And when they just have the wrong mind, and then if you get to that, you can't get to them without getting to you, can you?
Mm-mm, no.
So when you start really blowing up on everybody and doing all the things you're doing, and when you can see that they're wrong, then you need to take a look and say, well, my God, you know they're wrong. I do the same thing. Well, if they're wrong doing it, I must be too.
That's right.
I didn't like the way they went off on so-and-so, and the Spirit will bring to your mind and say, well, you did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to say, well, I didn't like that either. Let me go down to this one. 15. See then, 14. Wherefore saith he, but all things that are reproved in 13 are manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So all the things that God shows, in other words, when it says they're reproved, all the little things that all of us, when we come to the house of God, we should come to the house of God not afraid that we're going to be revealed, but we should come wanting to be revealed.
Help me out.
I want to know what about me is not like God. I want to know why my prayers are being hindered. I want to know why, you know, what do I need to do to get a miracle? And how do I, not only for me, but how do I learn to pray so that I have a miracle? And I want to know I really want to know, the devil really fights me from time to time, and I want to know how to put up a better battle against him and get him off my back and go on in God. These are things that we learn in the house of God.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know. I want to know more about heaven. When's the last time somebody said, I want to know more about heaven? Everybody wants to know how, and I know the Word of God deals with relationships. It does it in this very chapter. And everybody wants to know about how to work out their relationships. It's in the Word of God. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And it's a need. And somebody will say, well, we need to have a seminar on relationships. We need to have a seminar on teen dating. And we do.
Yeah.
We need to talk more about what you do when you're in divorce status and all these things. And we do.
Yeah.
We need to talk about husbands, how to treat their wives. And we do. But I never hear, I almost never hear anybody say, we need to have a seminar on heaven. And we need to know more about heaven.
Yes, amen.
And we need to know, you know, because if you're going to obey God, then there has to be a reason for doing that. And the reason for obeying God is eternal life.
Yes.
And when I come, since I'm not a psychologist nor a psychiatrist nor a anything else, I'm just a preacher. If you want to know what I'm talking about on how to help you in your relationship or your marriage or whatever, it's going to come from God.
Yeah.
Well, since it comes from God, I can't go to a judge and mandate that you take anger management. And I can't go to somebody else and mandate that you get a marriage counselor. And I can't mandate that you stop being abusive and threaten jail and do all these things. So it's coming from God. Whenever, and this is where the word is, to get you to obey God, then that's something that you must want to do yourself.
Right.
And it works better than anything else if I can get you to do it. But the reason for you doing it is because you're going to have eternal life.
Yes.
It's a matter of saying, I even tell people sometimes, and they say, well, we want to talk to you about our marriage. Well, you know what? I'm not a certified clinical counselor or whatever. I can tell you what the Word of God says, and I can tell you why, and the Spirit will bear me witness that you should probably go along with it. But in God, everything you do of your own free will.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
You've got to decide. This is worth my time. It's worth my time to work this out.
Yes.
It's worth my time to change that. Why? Because I need eternal life. And it's worth my time to do it because it is the best thing to do.
Yes. Yes.
So then he says in this, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Arise from the dead, Elder Smith. Come out of the whatever you're in, and Christ will give you life.
Yes.
You've been hung up in this and hung up in that. And I sometimes used to go through a whole lot of examples of things. And then I found out that when Satan is standing by like Joshua and whispering in people's ears, when you ring their bell, the devil sometimes will get them to the point where they'll close their ears. So we'll just say you hung up in whatever you hung up in. And you're wrapped up in whatever's keeping you from God and how it's keeping you from wanting to be a part of God, no matter what it is. He says, get out of that. Wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up. You've been doing this too long. Wake up. This has been going on. You know, it's time to move up and be like God. It's like when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and Joshua and all of them went out and they spied out the land. And then they came back with the evil report, you know, from Korah and Dathan and all those. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, but then there did come a time when the Lord told Joshua, it's time to get up,
mm-hmm.
and it's time to go forward.
Yeah.
It's time to move now.
Yeah.
And the Spirit will say, and that's what I love about him, because when he comes in, I only came into the house of God because, you know, me and my wife were fighting or whatever the reason was. I didn't come to get the full ticket. I just came to get a little bit of relief.
Yeah.
And I only showed up because someone invited me, and somehow or another I thought to myself, you know, this might be good. Well, it wasn't the devil telling you it might be good. It had to be the Holy Ghost. Some people will say, well, the Holy Ghost doesn't speak to people who are not in God. Yes, he does. How do you think you got here?
That's right.
Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me, you know, draw me. And so he does that. So when we are going through and doing things, he shows up and he shows us how to do them and he leads us and guides us. But he only moves according to your willingness to do so.
Yes.
You have to work with God. So he says, see then that you walk circumspect, not as fools, but as wise. I'm almost done. In other words, you need to, you know, and he says it in Romans the 12th chapter and several other places, you know, thinking soberly. Yes. In other words, giving serious thought to what you're doing. Before you tell your wife off in front of your children, you should think of the impact of them. You might win the argument, but what did you do to them?
Yes.
And you might have gotten your way, but what did you teach them?
Yes.
And before you went off on the department store lady, you know, wherever you were, and said what you said, yes, you might go back and tell your friends how you talked her to the ground and how you told her off and everything else, but your child was standing there while you were doing that. So what did you teach them?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do for you the next time you come into the store? And I think you're just, in my mind, one of the silliest things you can ever do is get mad with your waitress in a restaurant. Since she's going to bring you your food, you should treat them very nicely. And the next thing you need to not do is don't ever get rude with doctors and nurses, especially when they're taking care of somebody you love. If you need another doctor, get one. But as long as you got the one you got, be as nice to them as possible. When they're getting ready to work on me, I ask them, how's your day going? Are you doing all right? You feel all right?
You know,
and I smile, hey, is this a good day? Because in a few minutes, I'm going to be sleeping. You can do whatever you want to do. And I don't want you to be irritated at me. I want you to like me a whole lot.
That's right.
These are the things we do. So when he says in this, you know, you need to be, you know, when he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, do the things that you need to do to make sure that you're pleasing to God, because you're going to need eternal life. But guess what? While I'm pleasing God, I'm also doing the things that I need to do to make it through the earth. When I walk circumspectly before God, I'm also walking circumspectly among all the people and doing the right things in the earth. And then he says this next one, redeeming the time because the days of evil. And I love this from Pastor Maston and all the saints. And I was growing up and people were always saying to me, you need to redeem the time. You need to make up for all the time you were in the bar. And you need to do all this and you need to do all that. Forget all that. You can't make up for that time. It's done.
Yes, it's in the past. Yes.
Redeeming the time means that I'm making the best of the time that I got now. It's like when I have coupons from wherever and whenever, and they always have the little date on there. You need to use them by date because they're good for a certain amount of time, and after that, they're not. You need to redeem them while they're good, because once that date passes, I don't care how many of you got, they're no good to you. It's the same thing about us. We're in the house of God tonight. This is Thursday night. You know what we're doing? We're making the best of the time. We're hearing the word of God. We're among the people of God. We're doing something in the Lord because we're trying to make our way into heaven. He says, redeeming the time. He says, because the days are evil. In other words, make the best of them, because difficult times are all around us.
Yeah, come.
You have to really work this out, spend some time. But, you know, it doesn't matter how well you think you did in the past or how bad you think you did in the past. Those days are done. They cannot be redeemed. I can't make up for the time that I wasn't in God. I can double up. I can try as hard as I can. I can be everything I can for the rest of the time, to the time I see God. But I can never make up for the time that I lost. Someone will say, well, yes, you can. You can just go full forward now. Yes, but I mean, even now, if I go full forward, if I hadn't lost that time, my going full forward would have pushed me even that much further on down the road. So you may as well give that up. And just do what you can do now. You have, you know, I'm in church now. Never mind where I was last week.
Yes.
I'm in God now.
Yes.
Never mind where I was a year ago.
Amen.
The Lord is blessing me now. Never mind how big a fool I was when I was 25. And go on in God. And don't let it, when you're a demon, and don't let anybody bring that back to you. Yeah, but I remember when you were such and such. Well, you can remember all you want to. I know where I am now.
That's right.
Jesus is coming back for where I am now.
Yes.
If I die tonight, I go to heaven and hell depending on where I am now.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I could have been saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, operated in gifts, miracles, and signs and wonders. And if I backslid and I'm no longer in Christ, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because he says in Ezekiel that all those things shall not be mentioned. He's looking at what I'm doing now. It doesn't matter where I was last week. Where am I now? Now, I'm not saying it's not a great testimony of where you came from. And it's good to tell other people how the Lord brought you out, because that's to the glory of God. But don't ever let the devil come up and tell you, well, but you know, I remember what you were. Hey, you know what? That's why I'm a new creature. That's why Christ came in and changed me. That's why he washed me and cleansed me. And he goes on down. And not being unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then not being drunk with wine where is access, but being filled with the Spirit. And I love that, because it's not the issue of being drunk with wine where is access, but being filled with the Spirit. His point being is when you have a difficult time, you don't need to find joy in things like wine or in those, in drugs or whatever. Of course, excess, and excess doesn't mean here, I've heard people say, don't drink, excess means you drunk too much of it and got carried away. Excess living means that you live a riotous life, a sinful life.
Yes.
Not being drunk with wine, where are the things of the world and that kind of revelry and all those, that kind of lifestyle. He says, you know how it is? People work all week and then they have a difficult week and they say, OJZ wrote a song for living for the weekend.
Yeah, he did.
It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
And the whole point was, I done worked all week, now I'm off, I'm going to go and have some fun and do all these things. That's exactly what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. That's not where my relief is supposed to be.
That's right.
That's not how I'm supposed to turn myself around. That's not how I'm supposed to reset from all the disappointments of the week. That's not how I'm supposed to find my joy and my happiness from what was going on. He says, when you go through, don't go out and do that. That's not the way to do it. But be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Lord to turn you around. Allow the Lord to work it out. Allow the Lord to see you through. Allow the Lord to bring you out. Allow the Lord to fix these things. That's what he's saying. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. In other words, learning to get along in fear of God. And this again is what I'm talking about, knowing the Word of God. You can be comforted if you know the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes.
If you have some idea of what the Word of God says, he'll neither leave me nor forsake me. I've heard a lot of people, it is good. I love songs, and especially hymns and good gospel songs that encourage. And I've heard people get in on a song and say, this song really moves to me and this song does this. It does me too. But it really works best when the song brings your mind back to the Word of God. After a while, you'll get tired of hearing the song. I'll give you an example. Now move on. I love the song by Tamla Mann, "Take Me to the King." Yeah. Until they started playing it on the radio so much, until I got tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
I love the way it was. I loved what it talked about and everything else. But they just wore me out with it.
Yeah.
And I knew what it was. But the Word of God never gets old.
Yeah.
And it's good to say, well, I like that song because it blesses me, and it's good if it does. But the blessing needs to come from hymns and songs and the word of God.
That's right.
So that when you hear that song, it brings to mind what God's word says.
Yes.
Because if you can't hear the song, it's the Word of God. David says that I've hidden in my heart. In other words, when he says I've hidden it in my heart, he means I've made it a part of me.
Yes.
To be hidden in my heart means it has become a part of me. When I say he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, it becomes a part of me. When I say that I'm saved by grace, it becomes a part of me. So that when the devil says to me, you know what, you didn't act right today, And this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and God's going to be displeased. And I can say to him, but I'm saved by grace, and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. And when I ask him to forgive me, he will do it because his grace saved me to begin with.
That's right.
This is what we need to do. I want to go to Peter, and then I'm done. 1 Peter. And he says, oh, 5. Starts off talking about the elders, talking about Pastor Masson again. Tells him to go down here, feed the flock of God, which is what he's doing tonight. That's why he's having this church appreciation, church anniversary. It's why we're in revival tonight. You're being fed. I hope I'm feeding you. I'm giving you the word of God, something to grow on and a reason to stay. I pray that I am. He says, which is among you, not taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. We're not making you do anything, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for the money, but of a ready mind. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm called to do. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. He says, and here again, talking about eternal life, but when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Every time in the word of God, when Jesus is here, he keeps doing it. When the apostles are here, when they're writing their letters, they keep doing it. When Isaiah is talking, he keeps doing it. It doesn't matter. They keep bringing you back. Do this because you're going to see God. Do this because you're going to have eternal life. Do this because you're going to live forever. In other words, he keeps bringing you back. When the chief shepherd shall appear, we're shepherds, but we're not the chief shepherd.
No, we're not.
We shall receive a crown that fadeth not away. And I like this last part. I want to go all the way down to about verse number 06 because I'm trying to finish. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, allow the Lord to lead you and guide you. Have you ever tried to teach somebody something that was unteachable, uncoachable? You just, you know, they knew so much, had so much, and, you know, you're trying so hard to work with them, and they won't work with you, and you're trying to fix it, and they won't let you fix it because they know too much, and they're into too much and whatever. We're like that. That's why it takes God so long to bring us to a point where we start to really move in the spirit. There's a whole lot of us that keeps God from being able to work in us. We say we are humble, but usually the person who declares how humble he is the person who exactly is not. And those things are so that the Lord can't move. The Lord would move so much quicker if we would allow him to. And say, well, how hard is that? It starts off by when you hear the word of God. And the Spirit of God says to you, that's you, and you need to change something. And you explain to the Holy Ghost how that's not you or how you don't need to change.
Yes.
Or what it is about this and what your reason is. It's like the person, you ever meet someone, it doesn't matter what they do when they're wrong. They'll even say, well, I'm wrong, but, and it's always someone else who's involved or something else that's involved. They can't ever say, but I'm wrong, period.
Yep.
And I need to be right. And never mind, they might be telling the truth. They might not be the only one wrong. They might not be the only one, all of that. But they can only repent for the portion that is them.
That's right.
And God can only fix the portion that you. You have to work out your own salvation.
Yes.
If you're wrong because A, B, and C are also wrong, they have to repent themselves. But when you come to God, you're coming for you.
Only for me.
Yes, I'm coming for you.
Humble yourself under the hand of God. Like tonight. You're sitting there tonight. And you're saying to yourself, when is he going to finish? In a few minutes. I'm getting it. I really have this time because I only got one more verse. And you're saying, you know, do I really need to be out, you know, this and that and the other? And the Spirit says, well, just give it a moment. And you say, no, I had enough. The Spirit says, well, might say one more thing that you need to know. You say, no. The Lord is saying, well, you know, just give it a minute. Do you know how many times I've sat in church and was ready to go?
Yeah.
And the last thing I heard was what I really needed to hear.
Yeah.
And he says, and it's humble yourself. And before, he says, casting all your care on him, for he cared for you. And I'm going to put all this together and finish it up. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, here we go all the way back to Zechariah, that's where I started, so this is time to get off. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour or destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, the same devil fighting you is fighting me. Same battle. And when I say that, I'm not really fighting him as much as people like to claim. Really, he lost his power at Calvary. And as long as I say my fight is because I'm, you know, now we'll use the song, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's.
Lord, yes.
He says, who resists that? Be sober, be vigilant, think about it, give it some thought. What's making me think like I think? You know, I cut up last night. You know, you say to yourself, I really cut up last night. What made me do that? And I said more than I should have said. How did I manage to do that? And I, the boss told me, you know, either straighten up or maybe I need to look for a new job. And I told him, hey, look, I don't have to look for a new job. I'm done. I walked out of here. And I know my rent is due.
Yeah.
Why did I do that? And now, I probably could go back and ask my job back, but I ain't going back. I ain't going to crawl to nobody. Well, you're going to starve.
Yep.
Because you should have done some things differently. And all this works because now you're discouraged, and now you want to come and say, well, Lord, help me. And the Lord says, well, you know, I'm going to help you. So, Lord, I need a job. And the only ad you see in the paper is the one you just gave up. You're going to have to do, and if you're going to do something in God, you're not only going to have to go back, but you're going to have to ask the Lord to go back with you.
Yes, right.
And change the king's heart so that when you show up, you'll have your job. And then, if you really love God, you need to go testify and tell everybody, let me tell y'all how I messed up and how God worked it out.
Because
the devil was trying to destroy me. Let me, you know, the old folks say, tell the truth and shame the devil. That's what you have to do sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you how I almost died and God stepped in and the Lord delivered. Let me tell everybody in here about this and that. Don't do what I did.
Yes, don't be dumb.
And go on in God. He says, because the people need to know, you're thinking about telling your boss off, hey, look, I already done that. Let me tell you, we all tried that. Same devil told you to tell me that.
Yes.
We need to be able to go on in God. He talks about this. I want to finish with this last verse. Go back up to the other one. When the chief shepherd shall appear before you, everybody standing, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The reason for doing what we do and the reason why the devil is so busy resisting and trying to keep us from going to God. You know, some people like sometimes they really just got the devil by the nose. The only person that has the devil by the nose is God.
That's right. Yes.
The only advantage that you have, the only advantage you have over him is because you have God. It's if you can see this like this, it's like you're a little child and you have a great big father. And when someone comes to bully you or whatever, you can step out and claim you got some power if you want to, or you can hide in your fall.
All right, yes.
You can step back and say, that's all right. I might be a little, but my father is very large.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what problem you have, how it comes. But when you know that God is your father, and you got the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you know, when you do like David, throw your rock, it's not because you got so much muscle power. It's because the Holy Ghost is giving it power and moving it out so that it does what God wants done. I encourage everybody tonight. I'm so glad to see everybody out. I'm Pastor Maston in the spirit and in God. I'm so proud of you, of Holies of Holies and you and your congregation. And I'm so glad. It is even here in Promise. You know, I'm really glad for you because. To have a congregation of people who will come out on a Thursday night, that's good.
Yes.
And people can say what they want, but in this day and time, to come out on Thursday night, it's hard enough to get them to come out on Friday night.
Yeah.
And that's only once a week. So I thank God for all of you. I pray, Lord, just bless you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn towards my screen because I can see all of you better. And I thank God for you, and I pray, Lord, just bless you. And I pray you got enough tonight that you'll come back tomorrow night. You didn't run anybody off. But I want to pray for the sick, and I want to pray for Ella T. Angela Rogers, too, Sister Pastor. So I'm going to pray, certainly pray for her. I want to pray for Cecilia Asha. I've been praying for her all week, and going to continue to pray for her that the Lord will do a great thing for her and lift her up and see her through and work things out. And I know, you know, you go through the medical process and all that, and you want the Lord to work and work things out and see things going and whatever. Sometimes sometimes God gives miracles, and sometimes God just works through whatever. It doesn't matter to me as long as God works it out.
That's right.
We would all like for everything to happen immediately, but it doesn't always happen that way. And God has His reasons. But I'm just going to pray the Lord will keep it and work things out. But even more so, I'm so glad that, you know, no matter what happens, it's like Jesus said in the garden. He told the Father, He said, Lord, He said, if you will, He said, get me through this night.
Yes.
He says, you know, let all these things be over. Let this cup pass from me. Let this be done. He says, but no matter what goes on tonight, your will be done. He says, no matter what goes on tonight, I'm going to do the will of God, and it's going to work out.
Yes.
And I say the same thing about everybody else. No matter how God moves or how He does it, either way, she will be all right.
Be all right.
But I'm praying the Lord will give her a touch tonight and calm, you know, and sell things and sue for the family and for holies of holies. And I'm praying the Lord will just bless. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you for everyone on here tonight. And Lord, for everyone I'm looking at on the screen and everyone I'm looking at in the sanctuary and on Zoom. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for your great grace, Lord. And I ask you to touch Ileana tonight, Lord.
Yes,
touch her in her body.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in Jesus' name, make her all way
of
home. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just touch tonight by your exceeding great power and make her all way whole. Lord, it is well within thy power. And Lord, if thou will, Lord, she can be made whole. Lord, I pray, Lord, you stretch forth your hand of mercy and touch, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we'll glorify your name. Lord, bless Altangela Rogers tonight. Bless her family. Bless her mother, oh Lord. Lord, work things out for her mother. And several things. Work them out, Lord, and grant her peace. Give her peace in Jesus'
name.
Lord, strengthen Altangela Rogers to go through all this. And Lord, touch her in her body. Lord, give her perfect soundness. Raise her up, oh Lord. Lord, touch her with the finger of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, quicken her mortal body. Lord, make her all way whole in Jesus'
name.
Bless him in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless India today. Lord, her reports are getting better, but Lord, heal her in Jesus' name. Touch all those, Lord, that who have any illness in their body. Lord, go through holies of holies from the front to the back and from left to right. Touch everyone in the audience, oh God, and give them what they need in their bodies, in their minds, Lord. In their souls, oh God. Lord, move in every situation in their life, Lord, in their homes, and in their environment, oh God. Lord, move mine in there. Say to the Lord, rebuke you. We stand against you in Jesus' name. And for everything you're trying to touch, we bind you in Jesus' name. And for everything you're trying to hinder, we bind you in the name of Jesus. And for everyone who you have a hand on, we command you to loose them in Jesus' name. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, loose them in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I pray that you move mightily by your precious Holy Spirit, oh God, Lord, and move in us and quicken our minds, quicken our bodies, quicken our spirit, oh God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Lord, bless the rest of this week. Bless tomorrow night. Bless Saturday. Move on tomorrow night. Move on Saturday in the park. Move on Sunday morning. Lord, for everyone that will come before you, Lord, move by your spirit. Whoever they are, Lord, use them to the glory of God so that the people may be blessed, oh God. Lord, wash them and cleanse them. Use them, Lord, in your service. And Father, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. The people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Service God, man, Pastor Manson.